Let's express your confidence.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, dear listeners, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And it's quite imperative, it's quite, important to thank Matthias Angala with The Twilight. It's the 7th of November, 2025. And, we are moving, we are progressing at an understandable pace. And when you speak of the 7th of November, 2025, must be able to understand that November has already started and is already Friday. And we are few weeks before the end of the year, before we go to December, which will be quite fast. However, this is your time that we dive into morning economic conversational program, where we analyze global issues, we analyze continental affairs, and we look at the aspect of domestic affairs to see what is happening in Namibia, what is happening in the SADC region, what is happening in the continent of Africa, particularly when it's coming to global politics, global economy, trade issues, issues of governance, and issues of development. You know, we are always indicating to you that, it's quite very important. And whenever you are waking up, just look at things that you have. Look at things that you have accomplished, and also start your morning with gratitude. Start your morning with gratitude. Do not start with things that you do not have. Look around you and also appreciate what you have obtained, what life have given you, because you'll be surprised that majority of the people, or there are people who want to be like you when you are thinking that you are suffering. There are people who think, who are praying actually to be like you. But it's always quite very important to start your morning with gratitude before we look at how we can achieve what you want to achieve. And yeah, we are greeting you wherever you find yourself. The fact that you tune into Eagle FM Namibia, your number one talk radio station in Namibia, it's a very good thing. And this is where we have a conversation, and we are indicating to you that the conversation must be elevated, whether you are in a taxi, whether you are driving to work, whether you are walking to work, whether you are going back home, whether you are thinking about how you can accomplish such business goals, whether you are a vendor. We are always indicating to you that the conversation of economic development must be elevated to make sure that by the time we reach 2030 and beyond, at least what we do not have now, we are going to achieve those we want to achieve. And at least to improve the system one by one, either is in terms of governance, either is in terms of economic participants, either is issues of youth, unemployment, either is mental health. We must make sure that at least we are not moving back, but moving forward. Because when you speak about Namibia that you want, when you speak about the SADC that you want, and the Africa that you want, we must make sure that every individual is a participant in economic development, in reforming, restructuring, and advancing the system of governance, advancing the system of the economy, to make sure that when you speak about income inequality in Namibia, when you speak about poverty in Namibia, should be a thing of the past. But we can only do that when we are working together, when we are collaborating, and when we recognize every individual's effort to make sure that we achieve national priorities, and also increase the levels of happiness. Because do you know that in terms of happiness ranking, Namibia is very far, and happiness ranking in the world is attached to economic fulfillment, and it's also attached to happiness about life, which is attached to achievement of the basic needs such as water, shelter, security, and also quality medical care. And indeed, At the center of that is quality and content-based education, not only education in terms of qualification obtaining, or not only education in terms of obtaining a qualification, but, you know, education in terms of the quality of the qualification and what it put into the mind of a person to innovate, to create, and indeed to solve challenges that faced by the society. So yeah, we start with global affairs, and we come into Namibia. But what's very interesting when we speak of global affairs, it's also quite important to understand that when it comes to Namibia, particularly in terms of the presidency, it's part of leaders who are attending COP30, and COP30 is a conference of party. This is dealing with climate change. The president of Namibia is in Brazil. To attend COP30. That is a United Nations Climate Change Conference of Parties, where leaders around the world gathering in order to make sure that they discuss about the future, what needs to be done, particularly when it comes to climate change. And at the center of the agenda of COP30, it's an opportunity to align trade and climate agenda, and also promote sustainable energy, and also to make sure that when it's coming to environment, the world is a better place. Because remember, the past 30 years, the issue of climate, although scientists have been speaking, it was not really considered. It was not really considered, particularly when you speak about political decision, until to the point of Paris Agreement in 2015, where the world leaders realized to say, let us put agreements, let us put commitments at least to reduce emission of greenhouse gases, because the impact is felt everywhere, even to countries that did not contribute largely to greenhouse gases to the impact of the environment. Because remember, the industrialization, the beginning of industrialization and burning of fossil fuel started particularly in the Western world, and most of these cities were developed, but not by the utilization of clean energy. That's why there's always a debate to say those countries that did not contribute largely to the emission of greenhouse gases must be compensated and must be assisted in their development, to make sure that when they are advancing their development, they must use sustainable, renewable energy. However, there is quite a debate, particularly from United States of America, under the leadership of Donald Trump, the president of the U.S., who quite have a different view, particularly when it's coming to climate. And remember, even during his first administration, he removed the U.S. from Paris Agreement and said America is going to use all forms of energy to advance its economic agenda, and also to make sure that, when it's coming to climate affairs, the U.S. administration, particularly Donald Trump, it's not buying into that. That's why when you have COP30, President Donald Trump is not attending. However, that is what is on the agenda. And looking at the president of the country, who is also expected to give a speech today or tomorrow, particularly in the position of Namibia, must be able also to understand that the president also took a short stop visit to Senegal. That is part of strengthening of diplomatic relations in Senegal, and also to make sure that Namibia continue to position itself as a global player, and also to advance its international relations mission. Now, looking at that aspect of conference of party, that is happening in Brazil. It's quite very important also to look at the records that when you are speaking about climate change, where is Namibia standing? Where is Namibia standing? And what are some of the development and that can also assist us to interpret the issues of climate affairs before we go down to the conversation? Because remember, 2024 go down in history as a year of drought in Namibia. And let's look at Imba and move forward.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Looking at the president of Namibia, Dr. Netumbona Ndaitwah, who is attending COP30, that is United Nations Climate Change Conference of Party. Remember that last year it was a year of a drought in Namibia, and I remember especially when there was a delegation to COP29, that is when former Minister of Environment and Tourism, Pamba Shveta, indicated that Namibia experienced drought that never happened in the past 60 years or so, and there must be measures that should be put in place to make sure that countries that did not contribute largely into the aspect of, deifying the environment, either is air, either is land, are compensated fairly. And it's a discussion on the table. It's a discussion on the table. And you also need to remember that when it comes to drought in Namibia and the impact of climate, that is also what is referenced when you look at the domestic economic outlook, particularly from Bank of Namibia, can be able to attach and link what have happened last year to this year's economy, able to realize that even the impact of livestock trade that has impacted the domestic economy of Namibia has also been linked to the drought of last year. And there was also an aspect of assistance, and I'm always advising people to make sure that we take records and we go back and ask to see where are we and how are we doing things. Remember, last year, German Development Bank gave around 20 million euros to Namibia, especially in cooperation with the National Planning Commission and also NAMWATA, in order also to fight against the issues of climate change. And one of the aspects is also to train individuals and also to assist in drilling of underground water from Ohangwena Ekwaifa. Remember that Ohangwena is rich with underground water, which is untapped underground water. And it's for you as a citizen to go and ask. Go and ask Memeka Diva Mtuma and ask her to say, how are the development, particularly with what was proposed when it's coming to looking at Ohangwena Ekwaifa? Is it just a communication? Where is the fund that reached you? Or what are the plans on the table? Because if we come to that point of asking questions, that is the only way that we are going to emphasize, and is the only way that we are going also to track our development on our own to see. There was a certain amount of money which was presented, that is 20 million euros, and in part of the conversation is you know, accessing Ohangwena water aquifer, and also to assist either is in irrigation of gardens, and also for human and also animal consumption, because Ohangwena is rich, and it's up to us as citizens to go and track development on our own to say, what happened? Did the money reach you? Are the technical experts already on the ground, or is just part of the conversation? Because the problem with us, especially me included, most of us have a short memory. We become very happy when we see something is being given, but when it's coming to tracking progress, we just end up saying no, the government is not working, no, the private sector is not working, no, the people are doing this and this. But have we ever gone there and asked to say, what are the development moving so far? And did the money arrive or not? Because if we do that, that is the only way that we are going to be able to track development on our own. And while we are at climate affairs, you must also be able to remember that at the beginning of the year, under the leadership of the former president, Dr. Nangolo Mbumba, there was a visit from a senior Chinese politician, that is foreign minister of China to Namibia, the first diplomatic mission of 2025 is in Namibia, that is Mr. Wang Yi. And Mr. Wang Yi, in that conversation, there was speech by the former president Nangolo Mbumba, who indicated that Namibia also received assistance due to drought, assistance of around, drought relief assistance of 50 million, that include food coming from China. And on top of that, there's also an agreement of 14 industrial boreholes to be established in Namibia, especially when it comes to drilling of water and also fighting against drought and impact of climate change. Now, as a citizen, it's up to you. As a citizen, it's up to you to go and track records, track progress, to not just sit down. Go and ask to say, when it comes to that communication, where are the things? Are there any progress? Were any boreholes, industrial boreholes drilled? Or are things in the process? Because if you want to track development, you must have a very strong monitoring and evaluation aspect. And you must develop too, the ability to understand records, and also the power to go and ask questions. Because when you have a very strong monitoring and evaluation, that is the only way. That's the only way that you are going to advance. And that's the only way that we are going also to assist our leaders, also to see maybe they forgot, or maybe they have done it, so that people must see what have happened. Yeah. While we are there, let's just engage the Namibian aspect first, then we can go to continental affairs, because the conversation for today, we are going to look at the report, the preliminary report by AU Election Observation Mission to Tanzania. That is what we are going to look at today. However, before we go there, it's quite important to look at also this ongoing strike. It's an ongoing strike in Namibia by some of the magistrates, particularly in different parts of Namibia. And we have seen its records and also views of various people when magistrates go on strike, remember that that is a very huge blow to our judicial system. And particularly looking at what they are asking. And you also need to ask yourself to say, what is the role of a magistrate? And what will happen if that issue that they are fighting for is not addressed on time? And remember that there are already records of, increasing incapacity of cells, prisons, where inmates are in increasing capacity. And when you have a magistrate who are working day and night on lockdown or on strike, on a slow mode of working, remember that the affairs of business interrupted, either is issuing of liquor license, either is criminal proceedings, either is love affairs such as marriage and also divorce, you will be stuck with somebody that you are not happy with in this economy, because the magistrate is on leave, or the lovebirds of your life that you want to get married to. You are not going to get to that point, because we have already seen some of the marriage were delayed yesterday because magistrate on strike, and they are fighting for their conditions to be improved and also increment into their salaries. And the other aspect is also that magistrates do quite a lot of works, even sworn in of either is political leaders, dispute resolutions, and also issues that are related to administrative affairs, especially when it's come to the law. And when you have your honor, you have my lord who is on strike, remember that that is not something to celebrate about, especially in Namibia, where we need effectiveness in the legal system, where we need people to be or justice to be served, justice not to be delayed. But if you have somebody who was supposed to be out of jail because of a very minor crime that should have been solved out of court, this person will not get out, because you need a magistrate, you need somebody who is authorized by the law to give that directive, because now it's also giving a burden to police officers. And how are things going to be when that of which should supposed to be dealt with is not dealt with? Because when you speak about the court is that who presiding over. It's not a building. It's not a building. In terms of legal terms, the court is not just a building, but that who presiding over. It is a court. That's why you have to bow down, whether with whatever rank that you have in the society. When you are entering court, you have to respect that of who is presiding over legal matters, that is who is given power by the Constitution to preside over legal matters on the land. But those are the development, particularly when it comes to Namibia. However, let us look at the short commercial break, then we look at what is happening in the continent of Africa before we go to the main conversation for today. However, you can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401-083, so that you can give your views, you can give your opinion, because the conversation should not be one directed. It should be a conversation which, is diverse. It should be a conversation. It could be that you are a person with more experience. It could be that you are a person who experience situation more than we do, and you have better and different perspective, particularly on the issues of economy, issues of governance, and issues of development. And you can engage us, and you can bring in your constructive criticism, particularly when you come to development moving forward. So let us look at a short commercial break, then we'll look at what is happening in the continent of Africa, what is happening in the world, before we come to the main conversation for today.
Lipura nengelo wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe udite opoye ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala konongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka okone ushendife nawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa bora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any other.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the only person who does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The following show is a playback from Eagle FM podcast.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that?
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
We are moving forward. We are moving forward. It's 31 minutes. Sorry, 31 minutes past the hour of six. And, we are moving, forward with, Early Morning Scoop. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. Let us start with the report from, World Health Organization. Especially, the report which has to do with, the disease of, Rift Valley fever. It was stated that the World Health Organization reports, 42 deaths from Rift Valley fever in Mauritania and Senegal. And, in Mauritania, 200 animals have tested positive for virus and, 176 in Senegal. And, Rift Valley, Rift Valley fever. It's mosquito-borne virus that primarily affect animals. However, it can also be directly transmitted to humans through airborne bodily fluids of infected animals. Let us look at this. And the question has always been to say, why always in Africa? Why always in Africa? Either is Ebola, either is cholera, either is foot and mouth, either is malaria. Why the records are always not on the good side of Africa, particularly when it's coming to health, when it's coming to issues of global health, when it's coming to quality of, animals. And, remember this also affect the trade of, animals. And, it's not only happening in, Mauritania. It's not only happening in Senegal. And you must also be able to remember that when you go to the records, particularly in Namibia, one of the debate in the court of law, especially when it comes to the issues of red line, is the issues of infectious diseases, particularly with animals. And must also ask yourself questions to say, why always in Africa? What can we do? What can we do to make sure that when it comes to outbreak of such viruses and also diseases, either it's for human, either it's for animals, what can we do about it, and why always in Africa? But let us look at this report by World Health Organization, and also to look at the situation in Mauritania and also Senegal.
An outbreak of Rift Valley fever in Mauritania and Senegal killed 42 people and infected more than 400 between September 20th and October 30th. The World Health Organization said on Wednesday. In Mauritania, 200 animals have tested positive for the virus and 176 in Senegal. Rift Valley fever is a mosquito-borne virus that primarily affects animals. However, it can also be directly transmitted to humans through the airborne bodily fluids of infected animals. In the most severe human infections, the disease can progress to hemorrhagic fever and encephalitis and lead to death. Rift Valley fever also has a significant economic impact on agricultural communities due to death and abortion among infected livestock. While vaccines are available for animals, none have yet been licensed for the use in human populations. An outbreak.
Yeah, that is what's happening. That's what's happening. And the question has always been to say, why always in Africa? And when you speak about vaccine, when you speak about vaccine, this vaccine made in Africa, and how do they handle the situations in Senegal, and also the situation in Mauritania? And when you have a certain problem, particularly in the health sector, the question that you are always asking yourself is to say, how do I solve this problem permanently? Or how do I contain the situation? But at the end of the day, must be able to understand that there is nothing for free. There is a market somewhere that African leaders and also African farmers have to buy those vaccines. But do we have content of understanding what contains into those vaccines? Or we are just buying for the sake of protecting our animals? And what is the long-term impact? What is the long-term impact? And there are always arguments to say somebody will give you something, not really to solve your problem completely, but to create a certain market. That is views out there. But the question is that when are we coming to the point of, dealing with our own problem after many years of African independence? Because African independence can trace it back to over 60 years. Because when you speak about African development, speak about African independence, started around 1958 there. The country started standing on their own politically and also try to revive their economy from there until now. When you speak about vaccine, when you speak about industrialization, when you speak about innovation, we'll be able to understand that in most cases we still look outside to solve our own problem. And the question has always been, for how long are we going to look from outside? When are we going to stand on our own? And how we're going to do things. Yeah. While we are there, let us look at Cameroon. It was indicated that President Paul Biya of Cameroon was sworn in for the eighth presidential term. And speaking to Parliament, the World Order's president promised to stay faithful to the confidence of the Cameroonian people and vote to work for a united, stable and prosperous country. And able to remember that Paul Biya has been in power for over 42 years now, and is 92 years old president. And looking at how things are in Cameroon, it's a question of, is that what the people want? And if it's a people choice, who are you? Who are you to say no? Who are you to say no? Or there's a third fourth, or there's a third fourth that is benefiting from this development. However, it's a democracy with African characteristics. That's why our job is to analyze and see how things will turn out, and also see how things will be, because some will be able to say age is just a number, and some will also be able to say, in an African philosophy, in African leadership, age is wisdom. That's why when you go back to the history of African politics, particularly with kingship and also chieftainship, be able to remember that the head of the kingdom must be there until God call him. But is that in line with democracy? Is he able to lead at this juncture? Is he able to deliver on the promises of the people, particularly with the change of the system of governance, where now head of state in charge of leading the people or the entire nation? But it's an open question that we all have to interpret. But yeah, let us look at this news, then we move forward.
92-year-old Paul Biya has been sworn in for a new 7-year term as President of Cameroon. Already the world's oldest president, he will be almost 100 if he serves the full 7 years in office. His victory in last month's presidential election has been contested by opponents, who've called it a constitutional coup. Protests took place in several cities across Cameroon days after the October 12th vote. They were followed by a 3-day lockdown this week after opposition leader Issa Chiroma Bakari claimed victory and alleged vote tampering. The government has confirmed that at least 5 people were killed during the protests, although the opposition and civil society groups claim the figures are much higher. Biya has been in power since 1982. A constitutional amendment in 2008 abolished term limits to allow him to stay in office.
Yeah, you've heard it yourself. Since 1982, if you were born after 1982, if you're born in 1982, the time you were born, it's the time Paul Biya got into to the State House of Cameroon, and that is the youth of Cameroon have seen in their lives, and he is what the youth of Cameroon have seen in their life. And predictions are there to say by the time he is done with his 8th term, he will be around 100 years. He will be around 100 years by the time he is done with his 8th term. And you do not know. You do not know. And he did not mention that this is going to be his last term. And God knows when. And also God knows when he's going to run for another term again. But that is what is on the table to say by the time he's done with his 8th term, he will be going to be almost 100 years. That is what is Africa. This Africa for us. And yeah, it's a question of concern to say when things are developing, who is advising? Who are the advisors in Cameroon? And also, how is the status of 21st century innovation in Cameroon? And also to see, maybe also to look at the appointment to see, in terms of administration, how is the generational gap in terms of those who are in charge and also those who are answering the needs of the people of Cameroon, and also to look at development moving forward. Yeah, while we are there, it's quite important also to look at this news, especially coming from South Africa. You know, there's a lot of things happening in South Africa. Goods and bads. And I know some of you, you have been watching Madlanga Commission, and also that ad hoc committee of inquiry, particularly regarding the South African police system, and also infiltration of South African judicial and criminal justice system. There is a lot of things going on, where the top cops, either is the head of crime intelligence, either is deputy national commissioner, either is national commissioner of police, either is minister of police, been questioned about at the center of that is the end of a political task, political killing task team. And there's quite a lot of evidence coming out. But let us look at the caller before we go to this conversation. Good morning.
Morning, David.
Yes.
How are you?
Good, are you, uncle?
Cool.
Mm.
How was it?
It's fine, it's fine. It's understandable.
So it has been fine, eh?
Yes.
Thank God for that.
Yeah.
Let's push. So these things, how do we really guide against this infiltration into the justice system, judicial system, to be so much captured in that form? And that is it, P, Is it the PKTT?
KPTT,
ne?
PKTT. Political killing test team.
Oh, what, man. How on earth can that be? You know, I was with some of these illegal minds.
Yeah.
And then they were telling me about, I've been following these things. Eh?
Okay.
And they are telling me about these issues and I'm following.
Just hold on, eh? Just hold on. Yeah, continue.
No, I'm saying.
Yeah.
It is very, very painful.
Yeah.
Very, very much painful, I think, to the whole world, actually. Because I've never heard of that kind of corruption that has really entangled the justice system. I've been hearing about commission of inquiries and all these ad hoc kind of committees set up. Whenever there are maladministration and all these kind of things. But this one for South Africa, where we also had some guns stolen from here, being used there. And one can really see that this is really a distraction, because if you destroy the justice system in that manner. Honestly speaking, I don't know how the country can really be properly administered.
No, that is the end of it. If you don't have a justice system or a criminal justice system which is strong, that is the end of it.
I think so, man.
Yeah, that is a collapse of state institutions, because at any point in time where you need somebody to give order and also to protect citizens, but if you have a criminal cartel which is in charge, you are out.
You are finished.
Yeah, you become
a man. The advocate, the lawyers, and all these things.
Yeah.
And they are the one who are also in there. I mean, it's very difficult to root out that thing. Of course, you can root out because you have now begun. They have begun, but it's the reputation, the confidence that people have in that system.
Yeah,
it's also loaded. I don't know how you. Maybe you guys you know better, and they were looking at it from that angle. I think it's just too bad. Even the president, and there were a lot of people who were going to be killed in that country. Especially the leaders and all these things.
No, yeah. If you look at the records of how many councillors in South Africa have been shot down, and how many have bodyguards, people are protected like nobody's business. But you must also sometimes thank your country to say, I think Namibia is better in many other things compared to.
It's a shining star.
Yeah.
So sometimes when the people are talking like that, we feel, maybe they are just talking. But you really look at ours, and I've heard many people talking and say, Namibia, it's really doing good. Not only in this term, in the area of judicial system, but in most of the areas. But when you now compare the South Africa, and then look at this country, look at the other country where even the elections, you were just mentioning Kenya, you were mentioning Cameroon and things like that. At least we are not going to be compressed on this, but we are still going to make sure that we guard against anything that may want to corrupt our judicial system. I think that's where we need to start. Because even the election, even the election or whatever, it will never go well because lawyers and all those people, they should be there to really protect the system. So even when I look at it, my friend, I have no way. I don't know. Maybe it's because of my limited knowledge to explain my disappointment.
Yeah.
But like you said, we really need to guide against this thing so that nobody should corrupt our lawyers. Nobody should corrupt our even the magistrates that you are talking about now going on things. We must really value their work because it's going to destroy almost the whole thing if we do not take care of that.
Yeah, it's true because there is a thing to say now. If you are not taking care of a magistrate, how is he going to be neutral in presiding over matters? Because he must be very happy. Not really to say he must be satisfied with everything, but he must be taken care of because that is a person who is presiding over a lot of cases. And if that person is emotional, if that person is angry, then it will affect the whole system.
My brother, I think there is a serious need for us to act speedily to make sure that at least that thing can still be averted before it became worse. So I think let's hear from how the authority will respond.
Yeah.
And so that we can just have our effective system running like the way we desire. So thank you very much, David.
All right. Thank you.
Cool.
Yeah. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, morning.
Yes, how are you?
I'm well, how are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm in the air.
Yes, yes.
Long time.
How are things going?
No, it's fine, huh?
Okay.
So,
what is your view?
Look, what we need to understand the world. It's not only the issue. Let me address the issue. It's not about the plenty of the magistrate or whatever you call them. We need to advocate for the public safety net of every citizen in this country. You see, you can talk about whatever they need, but I was saying the public net of every citizen here has been affected. And we don't have that threshold for everybody. Look, you can be whoever, what length, position, prime minister, whoever, ordinary teacher and ordinary citizen.
Yeah.
The price of the bread, my friend, everybody just needs the bread on the table.
I hear you.
All you need water, you need electricity, you need shelter. Can we? Does the price of the bread change?
The price of
what? Of the bread change, or the unit of the electricity, or the water change when it comes to whether you are an economist, you are a politician, or just an idiot.
No, it's the same.
Yeah, why should do? That's why I said,
yeah.
I'm not really against what maybe the magistrates are doing.
Yeah.
But I'm saying the negotiation should be at that level.
We start with everybody.
To start with the public safety net for everybody. Mathematics. Why should you like now the last time teachers were demonstrating.
Yeah.
Public servant were demonstrating.
Yeah.
Next time is the prisoners. Next time is the students.
And who is most affected?
So but we are saying, look, can we talk about the standard of the country here?
The standard for
everybody. That's why some people, when you see other things in the country, I always see people. You know? Even when those us that are working,
yeah,
in terms of a housing, you always see that, you know, there is always a difference between the housing allowance, maybe, or
yeah.
housing subsidy of the ED and the directors and the ordinary cleaner.
And the administrator.
But we are asking, does the price of cement change?
I think it's a good question, that one.
When the director is buying or when the cleaner is buying? Does the price of the F change when it's going to be bought by the cleaner or a dinner citizen or by the director? It's not changing. Why do we need a differentiator? We need to use a differentiator thing. Look, can we say, look, and this is what we need to understand when it comes to urbanization.
Yeah.
In urbanization, there is a standard of housing.
Yeah, standard.
There should be a standard of housing. Then everybody must have a house, a formal house.
Before everything, now, yeah.
The standard one. If you want to double solid at your store.
Yeah.
But every person must be able to afford the house.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you see in that some country, you still find that the government is building what? Flat. So because, we need to get rid of this mindset to believe, to say, look, if you are poor, you are unable to live in a formal housing, or you are not able to access to electricity and water and land, it's like that.
You are even scared of living into it.
Who told you this?
Yeah.
Who told you this?
So you are saying we are aiming low.
Look, we need to understand the concept of urbanization. Look at how the urbanization started. So I'm afraid now. Even now when we are living, you know, going in those elections and we are in village. Did you know that we are living in a city with two faces?
I hear you.
You see, Windhoek has two faces, and you can understand the history of it. It was on the race, you know, black and white. They live beside of the town, and now when we talk about what we do, now we have Windhoek proper and Windhoek informers, where you know that the rights and the dignity of the people who are living in the first settlement is affected. They don't have proper shelter, they don't have sanitation, they don't have water, they don't have electricity, crime is there. You see? They don't have land, access to land ownership.
So,
this is what we are talking about.
Now,
and this is the city that we are in.
So,
I'm saying, look, if we have to talk about the public service net here, what are we talking about? We need standard. And remember, city of Windhoek is what? Is the face of the country. And it's the first entrance to all the foreigners, especially those ones that have come through our international airport.
This
is the capital city of the country.
I hear you.
And you are not worried about the image of this country, or of that. And city of Windhoek has always been what? Referred as what?
The cleanest.
Then what happened to that status?
I don't want to repeat what Tate Sangwasa have said, but yeah, let's continue. Yeah.
Look, we are in this predicament because we do not understand concept of urbanization. But how many times have we gone to election? How many times have we elect leaders? Now you are there talking, apparently it's the democracy with African characteristics. What are those characteristics?
I want to ask you, because I think we are sharing the same sentiment, especially to those who come to power, particularly with the local authority and regional authority, who promise people housing and all these things, to say, what method can we put there to evaluate somebody's effectiveness, to say this person is what he said, especially about housing, and how do we deal with that? Because people, I can say whatever I want to say, you elect me after 5 years, I can come back with the same thing, but life continue.
Look, you know, for city of Windhoek, we need to understand And this is, has to do with more of a governance and administration issues. To say, number one, you need to understand the revenue base of City of Windhoek. And this is a city that does not really have a direct final, like, subsidy from the state, from government now. Now,
let's continue.
This is the city where everyone is coming from, is coming to. Day and night, everybody, every time people are coming.
Hold on 1 second, eh? Just for, hold on.
Großartige Neuigkeiten. Imba ist jetzt noch besser geworden. Wir haben brandneue Funktionen hinzugefügt, um dein Erlebnis noch reibungsloser, schneller und leistungsstärker zu machen als je zuvor. Bereit, das volle Potenzial von Imba freizuschalten? Erhalte alle exklusiven Funktionen für nur 36 Namibia-Dollar pro Monat oder spare noch mehr mit unserem speziellen Abonnement-Plan. 5% Rabatt bei einem 3-Monats-Abonnement, 10% Rabatt bei einem 6-Monats-Abonnement oder 25% Rabatt bei einen 12-Monats-Abonnement. Wähle den Plan, der am besten zu dir passt und genieße alles, was Imba zu bieten hat, zu einem unschlagbaren Preis. Imba, where the world congregates. Lade es herunter und abonniere noch heute.
The Electoral Commission of Namibia reminds all registered voters, November 26, 2025 is the day to cast your vote. Head to the polls and exercise your democratic right by voting. Your vote is your voice, so put your voice in the box to make sure it's heard. Vote on November 26, 2025.
There's no price like the ShopRite price. That's why we're committed to bringing you lower prices on all the essentials you need. Like 6x1 liter Rite brand long life full cream milk for only 119 Namibian dollars 99 per pack. And 4 kg real good frozen chicken, mixed portions, only 194 Namibian dollars 99. Never pay more than the ShopRite price. Valid until 9 November 2025. Only at ShopRite. Catch Ready Steady Cook on One Africa. Proudly brought to you by ShopRite Namibia.
Yes, continue.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying that the issue of Windhoek,
it
has to do with governance, my friend. Governance.
Yeah.
Because you need to understand that City of Windhoek is the capital city of the country. The face, that's right. Remember, but there is no direct subsidy to the City of Windhoek in terms of infrastructure development. This Windhoek is everybody's coming to Windhoek, whether from rural area, from other town, for opportunities. Now, does now the city of Windhoek in terms of capacity, in terms of financial capacity, in terms of infrastructure, road and housing and what, is able to sustain that population fluctuation always in the city of Windhoek? Because we did not see it. We did not see it from the point of view to say, look, City of Windhoek is the face of the country. And we have a decentralization policy here. But you still have people who are coming from rural to, especially to town, including City of Windhoek. You still have people who are moving also from other towns to come to opportunity. Because City of Windhoek is the center of Namibian economic and also governance, administration and everything. And you wanted to say, look, at the end of the day, you are going to resolve, you know, the City of Windhoek under this commission. We are saying, let's talk the truth. Look, the revenue that the City of Windhoek is collecting, indicator, you know, for those, you know, but in terms of infrastructure development, housing, road and streets and what, land servicing, the central government must step in. If you really want to avoid that two faces of Windhoek. You see? Because the revenue, which is the City of Windhoek have now, it should be in a cost recovery thing. You understand? But they have to be in infrastructure and to sell service land, and also the land they have to do some cost recovery there. At the end of the day, are the people going to afford? That's why sometimes City of Windhoek doesn't have money. They have to bring in the property developers. proper developers,
business people.
Are they going to get just an ordinary person like Pedro who doesn't have any money?
Yeah.
But because of the counseling solution to get a certain portion of land, he's going to the bank. Then the bank gives money, loan, 20 million. They are going to pay the profit of what? They are going to pay almost 25 billion, million.
Even 30.
Or 30.
Yeah.
Now, remember this person also, a property developer, needs also to make a profit. Can't you see now how we are unable to resolve the issue of housing and land and also infrastructure development in the city? Did you know, can you know how you see Sito Biduk now?
Mm-hmm.
Is going that bigger face, two faces of Sito Biduk is going to be.
And
when I'm talking about those two faces, I'm talking about inequality.
I hear you, and we are together there, because when you speak about everybody's moving to Windhoek, I think the population of Windhoek is growing over 3%. We are now half a million in Windhoek as we are speaking, over half a million now. I don't know what will happen 2030.
But where are the majority of these people?
Informal settlement, informal area.
Are you beginning in an informal settlement? That is the base. The other face of Windhoek that you don't want to see. You understand?
That is the real Windhoek.
That's all I said. You have Windhoek informal settlement, or maybe the real Windhoek and fake Windhoek.
Yeah. Let us look at the future. Now, as you have content and you have done your research very well. Maybe as somebody, if you have to advise, either it's a central government, that is now under Tate Sankwasa, either is city of Windhoek, either is councillors. What are the key things that we need to do, especially when you spoke about safety net, when you spoke about inequality? What are the key three things that maybe need to be looked at, particularly when it's coming to dealing with the basics such as housing?
Look, first of all, we need to define the public safety net, not only for city of Windhoek, for the whole country.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the regional level and the rural level, and also what? At the urbanization level.
Mm-hmm.
At the urbanization level, you already know the reason you did not see informal settlement in the what? Because of the standards which were set back then.
Mm.
So number two, because of now, of this failed decentralization policy, and we need to review it properly. It's that it's failing because it was created to make sure that people are staying in their region and also in their rural area. We create opportunities there. It's no longer the same. It's no longer the same because people are still moving. Are still moving to the urban system. Number two, we need to review the subsidy funding model, but for city of Windhoek from the central government. Because the current law now, it says government, city of Windhoek does not receive anything from there's no legal permit to say every month or every year, the city of Windhoek have to be given a certain budget from the central government. There's no legal framework like that. They can get maybe one or they were mentioned of like when the central government want to do certain project like in the housing, for instance, be together, what they can now sometimes give those money like that. It's so there are all those things. But we are saying there must be a funding model like that. But for you to understand it, you need to understand it from the point to say, city of Windhoek is the capital city of the country, the first of the country, is the setting of the government. Therefore, because of this now failed, you know, every time people are coming into the city, now we are unable to afford, Sito Windhoek is unable, you know, to build housing, to give land to these people. But without an intervention financially because central government, for Sito Windhoek, they're supposed to concentrate on what? On the infrastructure development, or land servicing, and housing like that.
And the process is very slow.
But that's why I said there's no
money
direct from central government. There's no legal framework for it.
But do these councillors who are campaigning understand the whole system, or they just want the opportunity?
Look, that is one of the crises that we have in our political dynamic, because you know, to be a director, you need an academic qualification. You understand?
Yeah.
Be a director.
Yeah.
But to be a member of parliament,
just say to be a mayor of a city, you just need a grade 10 certificate.
No. Look, let me tell you, just to be a member of parliament or to become a president, to become in those executives, you don't need, because only two, like, you know, only two, three organs of the state, among the three of that we did not require qualification. Judiciary is properly addressed there.
Yeah.
You cannot become a prosecutor, lawyer, whatever, or if you don't have qualification.
Yeah.
But sitting in cabinet, which is the most, one of the highest, or legislative, or you come to what? To this local council chambers.
Yeah.
You think you will move. Move where? Move where?
No, I hear you. But
when it comes to the local authority,
these
local authorities are only managed by what? By the officials that are there. And there's councillors that are definitely being manipulated because they don't understand anything.
I hear you.
You come in an environment, in a former environment, working environment, you understand? Because when you also need to see the how the setup of a local authority was created. It's a kind of a part-time, because it's like you are a board of director. If you have to serve it, you need to have your own formal work. And because of the experience that you have, you know, acquired in the corporate world, then you need now to go serve in the city. It's like in the board of being a director, board of director in any part of the company.
It's a part-time job.
It's a part-time job. That's why you see, to say, can you be a board of director when you were never in, without any working experience? What are you going to bring on the table?
Oh, that is a critical observation.
You will not bring anything on the table. You are going to learn. Now you want to say the city, the local authority, chambers and the legislative national assembly is a center of mature age education. What? Now you want to learn.
Okay, I hear you.
Because you wanted now to learn, to start learning even budget, even governance itself, when you are ready.
At that level, yeah.
No, you can't. You can't. That's why we said, some of the people who said, and people are saying, but why? Certain people are not speaking in parliament. What are you going to say?
They don't have a voice.
What are you going to say? You are just there collecting the salary. But at the end of the day, the public is there. Is waiting for the service. But what I'm saying, I also believe to say, you need to understand that nobody was born with experience. You understand? All the business skills have to be learned.
Yeah.
We are saying, now, when we have a properly defined, you know, rules and procedures, and the people are willing to learn, then you can. But in hell, some people are untrainable because of the level where they find themselves. You understand? Mm-hmm. Some people are untrainable. You cannot be trained at that level. And sometimes you only need to serve for 5 years. After 5 years, you are not there. You won't go back on the street again. Then you find another way, because we are saying, the way we think is just, maybe politics is another way of employment. But politics is not employment. It's an opportunity, a privilege to create opportunity for other people.
No, I hear you. Now that aspect, you made it very clear. I just want your final input, especially looking at the way forward. You know, we have a lot of challenges in Namibia, and I'm always telling people to say, Vision 2030 is near and should not be the end. But there are things that we can do and we can accelerate. You spoke about redefining of public safety net. You also spoke about the decentralization to be accelerated, and also the assistance of the city of Vendo to revive the funding model. And in that aspect of governance, I think we should also engage it. Just after a short commercial break, just your key 2 points, then we can give an opportunity to others, because we are going to a short commercial break. Just hold on.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Why pay more when you can pay less at USAID? 400 milliliter Dawn hand and body lotion or cream, just $29.99. 350 milliliter trusted palm olive shampoo and conditioner, just $38.99 each. Lovey's premium disposable nappies, $133.99. Any 2 1-kilogram bags Sunlight 5-in-1 hand washing powder, just $58. Save $2. You save, I save, we all save at USAID.
Yes, just final 2 points.
Yeah, maybe you know why I mentioned the issue of decentralized spending.
Yeah.
The ultimate is devolution. Mm. To give ultimate power what? To the regions. And also, like local authorities there, and also. But we are saying, if you ask them now, and I'm working for that ministry now. that urban
okay, okay,
if
okay.
You ask them now. Yeah. Let me tell you. If you ask them, how long Oshikoto region or commerce is going to attain the status of devolution? When? And remember, decentralization policy has been in place for how many years now? Maybe from 2001? I don't know. From 1997.
97.
Maybe almost for 97. Yeah.
Remember, it was championed by Dr. Nick Yambo as championing
it. It was almost like in 97, 96 there.
Yeah.
But if you ask even the commerce region where the city, capital city is, where the commerce is the one of the one, when is going to attain the status of devolution? Ask them. You can ask my minister. When is going to attain those status? It's when now you are going to have this. It's failing because there's no target, clear target there. It's just something that has been mentioned. That's why you see people are always coming where?
To city.
Whether you are in Swakopmund, you still want to come to city of Windhoek. Whether you are at Kamachi, Kanachi, what, or Ongwerum, you still want to come to city of Windhoek. Mara, when these people are coming to city of Windhoek, you need to understand that they need services.
But why what about because I was looking at their strategic plan. I think it's to 2027. They are saying that City of Windhoek is striving to be a smart city. I'm asking to smart how? Maybe.
Yeah. Look, I'm saying number one, you did not. How can you come? Will you be a smart city with two faces?
Smart way.
You need to start in the informal settlement first. And you need first to retain that status of Windhoek being the cleanest city before you come to that. I have read the strategic plan of theirs also.
Yeah.
There's no, you can read it many times again.
Yeah.
But there's no element of debt. How can you grow when you are not going to address the debt? Debt management is not there.
Okay.
And that is where even most of the, even in that depth, what we all sit of Windhoek as residents, as institutions like that,
Mm-hmm. Management is very, very important. Because in the local authority, you need to understand three things.
Yeah.
Revenue.
Yeah.
Collection, yeah. Expenditure, and debt. Those are the key things that you need to understand. You need those key pillars. How can you worry concern about the revenue in the expenditure when you are not controlling the debt? Mm-hmm. You must reduce your debt. You must also try to seek a job, even with the financial lenders, that there are the employee owe, the public owe, business owe, government institution owe. Now you wanted to, because the debt of Windhoek is around almost how many billion? But you still want to give service. Where are we going to give the service? That's why I said, look, there are two critical important things there. Debt management for City of Windhoek, and also a new funding model from the state, from the central government.
Debt management.
To cater what?
Okay.
Yes. To cater for the infrastructure only. Just to assist the City of Windhoek revenue-wise.
I think that Machai is listening to you, and I hope her worship also listening. Thank you. Just due to time, but I need you in the show. I need you in the show when you relieve yourself from work. At least come and say hi to us so that at least we can have a conversation, particularly when it's coming to local authority and development at large.
Okay.
Thank you for your input. Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the input and to our caller. And he's always has content, particularly on issues of development. And he raised quite a very important point, which are in line and are part of our economic conversation, the developmental program, to say the city has been the cleanest city in Africa. But what happened now? And also, it's the seat of the highest office on land. It's the seat of central government. And also question also the policy of decentralization. Why everybody is moving to the city? And also to look at the aspect of why do we have a city with many faces? Because when we are advertising our city, I have seen a lot of marketing videos. I've attended a lot of, not quite a lot, but some of business summits where you have some... You have some foreign business people come to speak, and the face that is being presented there, you are just asking to say, man, where is Havana for way here? Where are all these buildings coming from? Where is Kahanja Park? That side of Samora Masha? Where is Green? Where are the main people? Because majority of the people, it's undeniable, living in the informal settlement, and majority of the people do not have the basic needs. And the caller have made it very clear, especially when it comes to the funding model, to say the city needs assistance, and also it needs a strategy on its debt management. And also to say, because the conversation was deriving from conversation of magistrate being on strike, to say we need to redefine public safety net, and also to look at the issue of inequality, to say, if somebody with a salary of 250,000, for example, is complaining about not well taken care of, while there is somebody who is getting $0 to $50, or somebody who is trying to survive, how are we going to get our society in order? How are we going to get our society in order? And also addressing the basic needs and issues of standardization. I think that should be emphasized on. A lot of developmental scholars or scholars of development, either it's development finance or either it's sociology, either it's international development, must define very well issues of standardization in development to say, this is our threshold. If you are suffering in a country, you must suffer, but you must suffer within this line. If you are poor, there must be a standard to say, okay, you are poor, but at least when it's coming to medical care, when it's coming to shelter, when it's coming to
when it's coming to housing, at least they are this standard. Because when you go to, when you look at the developed world, when you look at the countries who do not have even the resources that we have, and look at the standard, the levels where they are, you will be shocked to see things that we are celebrating here. To them, it's not a luxury. It's human rights. It's human right. You cannot celebrate about having clean water. You cannot celebrate about having electricity which is on. You cannot celebrate having a safe house. That is that to them. That is those are their rights. They focus on other things. But what the caller has made, I do not want to dilute it. But that is where the conversation is. That's where the conversation is. And also to give, I have seen it when it's come to decentralization. I've seen, some of the, you can see universities, you can see some of the institutions being sent to different towns in Namibia. But almost when you are critical services are still found in the city. But that aspect of decentralization must be emphasized on. And also to say, you want to be a smart city, you must be a clean city. You must also be a city that is planning on realistic. And one thing that we also do not speak about, and it was stated by the caller, I'm just referencing, is actually the issue of putting a standard requirements to say, why should somebody go to parliament who just end up in grade 6 and make laws for me? Why is that? Why there is no certain standard to say no? Fielding candidates must be at least, there must be at least requirements for more political parties. Because there is somebody who is in parliament who never spoke any word. Not really because the person does not want, because the person does not understand. And the caller said, no, that is not the time to learn. It's not a mature age, something that I mentioned. But it's quite making sense to say, let us not, it's not about pride of education. It's just a basic to say, if you want to understand, if you are debating about a bill, if you are debating about a policy, if you are analyzing budget, midterm budget review, and you are giving your input, you must know exactly what it means. You must know where the money is going, and you must know who is being impacted by that money. Let us not just say, no, I'm going there to speak for you. Speak for me about what? If you just end up in grade 6. Because really, we are becoming a joke. But if you really stand up and say, this is a new direction, this is how things are being done, at least a basic qualification, at least even a diploma. Maybe you look at the training and experience, but not just because I'm good with a party, then you send me to parliament. To do what? There was an audit which was done in KZN. Then, around 300 councillors, they were seen as illiterate, and you are just asking yourself, why? Where are we going as Africans? And that person is going to handle a budget. Imagine that person become a mayor. He's going to handle a budget of billions of dollars. But it's a conversation that we need to expand, and it's a conversation that we really need to look into to say, sometimes we must deploy able and capable people, at least those who understand and able to move things. Yeah, it's 28 minutes past the hour of 7. We have 30 minutes before we give the mic to the big mic in Ondangwa to unpack the day. We are into a short commercial break. Then from there, we are going to look at the Villager newspaper. Then we go to the conversation of today, because today we are going to shortly analyze the report by African Union Observer Mission into Tanzania, where they indicated that those elections. They also indicated how they suffered as election observer mission in Tanzania. How they suffered, and they have also indicated the loss of lives, gunfire, and also unconstitutional aspect, and also looking at the final analysis to say the election in Tanzania, according to AU Observer Mission, are not in line with international standard and obligations. And we also need to look at how do we deal with things as Africans, because remember, Beforehand, the AU chairperson congratulated the elected head of state. Then, the AU observer mission, released, a preliminary, report, which is around 14 pages there. And, at that report, what is very interesting is that, who is heading AU observer mission is a former president of Botswana, Masisi. And, to me, I think he's a democratic, person, because one of the things I observed from him is that when he was defeated by Duma Boko, the transition in Botswana, especially, is not easy for a ruling party, particularly the former. Okay, you can say it's a liberation movement, although it did not go directly to military war, but the party has been in power for over 50 years. To hand over power like that, it wasn't an easy thing. But what Masisi did when he was defeated by Duma Boko, he gave him a call. And it's a record. He gave him a call to say, I'm watching the result, and I accept defeat. But tell me, when do you need transition? Anytime. Is it Friday? Is it Monday? Anytime I'm ready. But him heading AU election observer mission to Tanzania, I think it was the right choice for AU. And I think the content of the preliminary report has value in it. And also to ask a question, I'm not here to denounce any elected person. I'm just here to give you information about the content of the EU observer mission. But also to say, what can we learn moving forward? Because what is necessary is moving forward and deliver to the people what they need. Because that is where the conversation should go to. So let us look at the short commercial break. Then we can move forward.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any other.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
Don't be a silent listener. You can air your opinions, ask questions, and converse with us in studio on 083-288-401.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM.
We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. And as I indicated today, we are shortly looking at the election observation mission. election observation mission in Tanzania, especially the AU. And just to go shortly on the report by the African Union election observation mission, which at the center of that, one of the at the center of that, the topic is indicated that it's the African Union election observation mission to the October 2025 general election in United Republic of Tanzania. Preliminary statement: the African Union election observation mission call for urgent constitutional reform and inclusive politics in United Republic of Tanzania. That is the topic to say. Constitutional reform and inclusive politics, the politics which is inclusive. Because we have seen what have happened in Tanzania. It was an election at the end of October, and every other bodies that deal with the check and balance of democracy, they send their observers. It's AU, it's SADC, it's it's EU, non-governmental organizations, and the elections, the outcome of election results have seen the sitting president being elected with 97% of elections. And you're asking yourself, there's no spoiled ballots. How many spoiled ballots were there? And you're asking yourself, what is the quality of opposition parties? Then you are also asking yourself to say, John Pombe Magufuli, who was a well-known man in Tanzanian politics, who was known as a bulldozer. He was known by his head-on to projects. He was a project man. When it's coming to establishment of airports, when it's coming to infrastructure development, he's there on the ground until things are being done. He did not came closer to 90 in terms of even his re-election, but that is what have happened. Now, that is an analysis based on what we have seen before. Now, let us look at the report, what the report has to say. The election observation mission was headed by former president of Botswana, Mokwesi Masisi, and also supported by Geoffrey Onyema, former minister of foreign affairs of Republic of Nigeria. But the content of the report on political context, it is also a report on legal framework, it is also reported on electoral system, and also the administration of elections. Now, what we need to look at is what are the key takeaways from this? At the center of the report is that when it comes to elections which happen in Tanzania, the observer mission indicated that there have been political motivated abduction. Some of you who follow African politics, so you must be able to understand that there is a party called Chadema. There is also ACT party in Botswana, and there is the ruling party Chama Chama Pinduzi, that is now the current elected president. Now, the observer mission indicated that there have been political motivated abduction. Political motivated abduction, you just got kidnapped and you are locked up. Then you'll be released after elections. Then you'll be able to understand that the history of Tanzanian politics is that there's a guy called Tundu Lissu. He's a leader of the official opposition or main opposition party. At one point, he was shot 16 times. I think around four years ago, he was shot 16 bullets and survived. He came back. Now he's facing treason. He's in prison. When the election was held, he was in prison. And the deputy also was imprisoned. That is a different part. And I'm not here or so to say that opposition leaders are 100% correct or they did not do anything wrong. But what we are indicating is the environment, how it turned out. Now, the report of AU observation mission has also indicated that when it comes to elections, at the beginning of the day of elections, the election started as calm and everything was in order. Until to the point where some of the members of EU observation mission were not allowed to stay there until the finalization. Because remember, when you elect somebody, the process has always been to say, let us do the counting and the recording. But some of them, they were chased out. And there was involvement of security force. Because when you are involving security force, when you are using security apparatus to score political points, that is not what is in line with even SANDEC protocols, EU protocols, AU protocols, and also the standard of conducting elections. Now, the other thing is also the killings of people. Because one thing that we must also be thankful, especially in Namibia, is that we can face our own situations, but our violence is always limited. Or we are not a violent nation. Because for a few years that I have been alive and a few times that I have elected, I have never seen one gunshot, one shot fired, a live bullet fired during elections. I have never seen that. There have been few chaotic things here, but never seen, even somebody lost his life by being shot. I have never seen. But in other countries, people can even go to 100. And that is what Africa is going through. Now, the report also further also indicated that there was some denial in accessing of some polling stations, especially in their missions, and also uncompetitiveness. Because remember, if you are competing with somebody, you must give him a level field so that you can compete equally. Because I can't compete with you if you put chains on me. How can I run with you and you are telling me that you won? So they say the election, the observer mission, they arise to say that was not, and some political analysts indicated to say this is not the election, it's coronation. Because it's uncompetitiveness. You erase the competition. That is now what the observer mission said. There was uncompetitiveness due to majority of or main political oppositions were jailed, or some because of the laws were not allowed to compete. Now, what happened in Tanzania, and what does this tell us, especially with AU observation mission? What is very interesting, what is very interesting is that AU chairperson has thanked the elected Tanzanian president, which is actually a diplomatic standard, because somebody who is elected, you must thank him or her. And the people that the AU sent, they said no. There is a lot of things which need to be done. There must be constitutional reform, and it's not in line with standard, and it's not what it was expected, and that is not elections. Now, this did not nullify the election in Tanzania, because observer mission, you just do your observation, then you give your records. You are not there to intervene in the country's sovereign, because the country have its own sovereign and its own people. You just do an observation. Now, here are two things which have happened. And I think it's also a lesson for us to learn as Namibia and also as SADC, to say, for the past 30 years or 35 years, and when in the existence of SANDEC, there have never been things of that nature. But when we are moving toward advanced democracy, we see developments. There are records. Look at our friend Zimbabwe from 2000 to 2014. There, you look at DRC. You look at Mozambique. And what is very interesting is that last year, when there was chaos in Mozambique after post-elections, there was chaos in Mozambique where there were around 2,000 people left the country, where South African logistics was blocked and they were losing around 20 million every day due to the logistic blockage between Mozambique and South Africa. Well, that who was sharing the Sunday organs of politics, security, and defense is the president of Tanzania, Mama Samia, who also hosted meetings and stated, no, guys, let us uphold democratic principles and also let us, protect the citizens' life and let us find mechanisms on how to deal with such challenges and let us, and go and read the statement. Go and read the statement. How was the ad hoc meetings of SADC organs of politics, defense and security were handled and who was chairing those meetings. And just few, not even a year, then a situation like this happening. Interestingly, SADC as we are speaking, the chair is nowhere to be found. The chair is rumored to be in France. And that is the former president of Madagascar, who is a political head of SADC. Then you are asking yourself to say, what is the direction? Who is now leading SADC? But interestingly, due to its troika system, different organs have chairs and functions continue. But it's also a question of concern to say, what is the future of African democracy? What is the future of SADC democracy? And what do we need to learn? And there's something that I think it's Thabo Mbeki who stated it when there was this African Renaissance meeting. Said, let us, African leaders, let us be honest with ourselves and do a critical self-assessment to say, when they are sitting in their rooms, let's advise each other to say, what are you doing to your people? Are you really in line with what you want as Africa? But that is a conversation of another day. And I want you to read this, this report. It's, you can go to African Union website. You can go to North African Union website. Then, you look at, African Union, election observation mission preliminary report. And there is a report with recommendation, which will come after 2 months, about the recommendations and, what, need to be done. And also, the way forward. And also to compare with countries such as Namibia and realize to say, sometimes we complain about our own country, but we are far good in many cases. There are a lot of things that we are doing well, but our focus must only be on economic development. Hello?
My brother, you know the problem there. Let me tell you, you know the problem there. I just funny to say that you are a observer.
Yeah.
But you don't have the power to do anything.
Yeah.
It's like a referee without a whistleblower. You cannot stop the game. You cannot. What is your purpose? Are we not just wasting money?
No. It's not about wasting money because your reports still have value. When you go, for example, and I don't think it's going to happen. When you go, example, to court. When you go to court, either it's a domestic court or international court, those reports are being used. When you want to do a rerun for example, those reports are still being used. But when you are observing, even the name itself, you are there to observe.
when is our report coming now?
No, because there's already, this report is already, it's like this is already a report, it's a preliminary, but there's the one which is coming up after 2 months apparently.
Let me tell you what, the problem with Africa
is
a lack of state.
Lack of what?
We only have state.
Okay.
The state itself does not exist because it make a difference between two things.
Yeah.
State and government.
Okay.
You see, people are no longer working at the pressure of the state. They are working at the pressure of the government. And that's the problem. Government is the administration of the day.
State is there.
And the problem starts when we say the president is the head of the state and the head of government. you understand?
Yeah, yeah.
The president can never, a state is a plural. It's not a singular. Therefore, does not have one head. You understand?
Yeah, I hear you, but the government is administering, I mean, has the power of the state on behalf of the people. Is that not, was not that supposed to be the case?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The moment you make the president to be the head of the state,
yeah,
that is the biggest mistake that you are making. Because now you can no longer see a difference between the state and what? Because the state is a reference of the government.
I hear you, I hear you.
When you see people play soccer,
mm-hmm,
who is the state there? It's not FIFA, it's FIFA.
I hear you.
Have you seen FIFA? But you have to play according to FIFA rule. Mm-hmm. Because FIFA is going to address you.
Mm-hmm.
That's why now, if the state has put institution and laws, how things have to be happening, and you are violating the rules, what the state is supposed to do? To address you proper. To address people, to put you at your place. It doesn't matter whether, because now when he, the president is head of the state, it's like now he's on top of everything. Not
that.
It's not like that.
Yeah.
It's not like that.
No, you are correct. Ask yourself this question to say, where is the head of judiciary? What is the head of judiciary saying in Tanzania, for example? Or the chief justice? Because you were supposed to be independent, because you have your own organ.
That's all said. Now that person is appointed by who? Apparently by the president.
The
state is a plural. It's not a single.
I hear you. There we are together.
The government has one head. You understand?
Yeah, I hear you.
You see?
Yeah.
Administration now, yes, he can be the head of government because the government is the president of
the country.
Of the country. Administration. You see? On behalf of what?
Of the
pressure of the state.
Now,
even this intelligence service, in the military, the police and the head, they are all scared of the president to be fired. How can you be the head of the state of the military and you are scared to be fired by the president?
You're answering to the people.
No. Remember, the president can only serve for 5 years.
Yeah.
Minimum.
Yeah.
And then maximum. You see? Now, if that is the case now, how can he become the head of the state? And some of the general has been there, and even the chief justice has been there for how many years?
Many years.
Those institutions will be there whether the president is there or not.
Oh, it's quite very complicated to especially to explain, because that debate has been coming out to say people, we mix things. The state and the government is quite a different thing, because government is temporary, as you have stated. And when you are telling people in Namibia that we have been electing government every 5 years, they don't want to believe you.
the thing is very simple here to say. What we elect is a state, because the government, the state is working at the pressure of the government. Instead of the government working at the pressure of the state. I said it many times, I'm telling you. You want to say, that's why in America, when you cannot see those things, nonsense in America, when people are being killed each other because of like that, you know why? Because the state is there.
The separation of power.
You have to play fair. That was those guys there. Why they have to investigate or arrest, try to arrest, you know, or Trump?
Even when there used to be a fight between Trump and who is the former speaker of Congress, Nerosi Perez, the speaker of lawmaking house. Yeah, there used to be a fight there because he was telling Trump to say, no, me, I also have my organ. You stay with your own. You can't come to my house and tell me what I can do.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
The state I said many times.
Yeah.
When you have a country with sovereignty, with the separation of power proper, where the state is ruling, the state of China has a position over Taiwan. That's the state. Now, Xi Jinping, being the president, cannot say Taiwan is not part of China. At the moment, he made it to move with about, you know, more public to move on.
Okay, we have 4 minutes. Let's
Harongo Corporation or state.
Yeah, and the state is more powerful.
Oh, Shishinare, because you don't know, because state is everybody. State is everybody. Because that's why everybody, when we all started to defend the state, then you see the government is going to be at this place. Because the state is the laws and the institution and the people who are upholding the mandate and the public value attached to those institutions and the law. That's why now what is that? No, the president is the head of the state. The head of the state where?
No, but is that not done to at least concentrate power? Because you have the judiciary, then you have the parliament, then you have somebody who is the head of government. But is that not in terms of power structure? Just to say,
you are, you only add the media there. You only add media. The fourth what?
Yeah, yeah.
The three organ you just add the media. That is the state. Simple mathematics.
Yeah.
You see? Because they all hold you accountable. That's why it must perform their own duty.
I hear you.
You can see that there, now the state is nowhere to be found. It's not there. You only have the government, government everywhere. But where's the state? Where's the referee there? Just when the government is encroaching on the sovereignty of the state, who is going to correct the government?
I think you know you are making sense, ne? But we need to simplify this. I think that Katenda used to simplify this his program, and also make sure that everybody understand to say what is the state, what is the government. When you speak about check and balance, what do we mean? Who are these people? Because when you are not behaving, for example, when the judiciary is not behaving, government and parliament, they are checking. When parliament is not behaving, somebody is checking to say, nobody must have more power than the other. That was supposed to be the case.
Who gets to arrest the president? now you are in a country where a president cannot be arrested, apparently.
No, that is constitutional. You can only prosecute him or her when, or things that he has done when he was or she was in power. But after that, that power is not there.
My friend, the president cannot only be arrested when he performed duty.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But if you violated any law, the constitution, everybody's going before the law. Well, now you wanted that article and that one that give immunity to the president. Which one is more powerful? Tell me now.
I think I need to go back to my constitution book, constitutional law.
Every person is equal before the law and the federal and everything. It also gives immunity. Now tell me. And those two. And remember, that one will say equal before the law. It's under chapter 3. But the immunity of the president is not under chapter 3. You
are okay, I hear you, but we do not have time. Thank you, ne? All right. Yeah, that is the conversation. We need a constitutional lawyer, especially to interpret the law and also what happened in Tanzania, to see where is the judicial system, who has power. Because remember, almost something happened in Malawi those days when Professor Arthur Mutharika was defeated democratically. There were a lot of interventions, and there were two judges and I think the Chief Justice who said, no, me, I'm standing with my judgment. You can rather kill me. I don't want to be manipulated. But that is the character of somebody who is within the judiciary to say, if something is wrong,
you can't be politically cook a constitutional interpretation. It can be. That's why in Malawi something happened. Even when you look at Professor, now he's the current, actually the current president of Malawi. At some point, you must be able to understand he was a professor of law. But during that time of election where they say no, the judiciary stood their ground to say no, it was irregular, it must be rerun, it was irregular, until Chakwera got into power. But that is a conversation of another day, and so to see what we need to move, what we need to do moving forward, what can we learn. But get time and read the Villager newspaper and get the content of the conversation there, especially issues of economic development. And the other thing that you, when you look at top of the Villager newspaper, top of the Villager newspaper, you can be able to see 21,000 enterprise registered in the past 2 years. Go deep and read that conversation. And you can also look at sport-related activity. That is 2025 Netback Desert Dash to inject 25 million into local economy. Then when you speak about education, you can also be able to look at the page of Verovitchia University, Faculty of Health. If you want to study mental health, well-being, food safety management, if you want to study mental child health in that specialization, particularly at the master's level, if you want to do a master in public health, level 9, master's degree, at Verovitchia University, read the Villager newspaper. And you can also look at Namibia export 49,000 kg of hides and skin in September 2025. Then you can also look at the aspect of youth transform waste into opportunities, that is development of Namibian young people. You can also look at satellite data key in natural disaster management and monitoring. It's an article by Dwight there. Then there's a page of IUM. Get IUM graduates, particularly from Kavango East. And you can also look at an opinion. You can also look at the opinion article there by Christine Angolo. He said there's also David Shombe also wrote something there. You can also look at are we getting there in terms of our national aspirations. Go and read. Then you can also be able, when you look at the Villager newspaper, be able to look at the Vroomanbrock sale and your summer saving. If you want to buy your mayonnaise, cold drink, macaroni, and other groceries, make sure that you read the Villager newspaper for today. Subscribe, like, and share our page. And we're going to leave you the good hands of the Big Mike to unpack the day. From me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now, and see you around.